Hey, good morning. It's great to see you all. I'm excited to be here. Let's start here. Liar, liar, pants on fire. In many ways, this sums up our world today, doesn't it? From fake news to media bias to the just avalanche of lies that we get from politicians in every party, all the way from local politics, all the way up to our president. This is really what's happening in the world today. And it's gotten to a point where folks don't even seem to care anymore about the truth, the facts. We just say whatever goes along with what we already believe. This is a huge problem. Today, we're going to narrow it down, though, because we, this fall, are talking about, we're actually letting Jesus show us how to have the good life. The good life, you know, like our actual lives being good. So we're not talking about the good politics. And we're also not even talking about the good church, although lots of lying happens in church. Humans use religion to cover up lots of things. There's hype and manipulation and hypocrisy that goes on in church. And that is also a huge problem. Not talking about it today. Today, we're talking about how to have the good life. So that means your life and my life. And that means today we'll get a little personal, right? Because we're going to talk about your lies and my lies. And we lie a lot. We lie a ton. Now, we don't have, like the politicians, people following us around, videotaping everything we say, dissecting every word, checking, counting all our lies. Imagine if we did. If someone videotaped everything you said and put it on the internet, would you talk a little differently? I know it would give me pause. Well, you can go online, right? And you can look up, you can find the latest count, like with every president, our current president, of the number of lies he has told. It's actually a little troubling. What's even more concerning, though, is the Gallup poll that tells us two-thirds of Americans think that most people can't be trusted. That's not most politicians. That's most people, like you and me. Most people can't be trusted. Because we lie. We're just liars. You might know that, right? You could probably right now think of a whopper that you've told. Anyone? Think of a giant whopper. Hey, I got one. Here's one. When I finished college in Seattle, I moved to San Francisco for a job. And I tried to keep up the relationship that I had with my college girlfriend in Seattle, right? You were pretty serious. And so I tried to keep that relationship up. But then I get to San Francisco and I meet another pretty girl and, you know, I want to move on. So I call her in Seattle. And I'm embarrassed to even say this. I call her and I tell her, oh, you know, I'm in San Francisco now and I have discovered that I am gay. Yeah. And she is so supportive and encouraging, and I am just that selfish, right? I am that cowardly that I would lie about being gay to have an easier breakup. We all lie. Can you think of some of your whoppers? If you can't, let me help you with maybe some things that you've said. Things like, yes, I've read that book or seen that movie because you wanted to seem like you were smart and knew what you were talking about. Or maybe, yes, let's definitely get together soon, knowing that it will never happen. Or maybe you've said, she's in a meeting, or he's not home, or I never got the message. But it wasn't true. You did. Or I bet you've said, I'm fine. That's a common one. I'm fine. Or I was just kidding. Or if you're married, you've probably said, you never, or you always. If you've ever dated, perhaps you've used, they're only a friend. Or, I never liked him or her anyway. Ever lied trying to be a good friend? Your baby looks so beautiful. Or no, that outfit, it doesn't make you look fat. Not at all. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Probably the biggest lie is that I don't lie. We lie a ton, and it is a huge problem, and Jesus can do something about it. When I worked in New York City, I was a corporate attorney, and I remember one day meeting with my boss, one of the senior partners, this brilliant lawyer. We were working on like structuring, putting together this big transaction, and he asked me if I'd taken care of something, some little detail, and I lied and said yes, because I didn't want him to know that I'd missed that. And I knew he wasn't going to check, right? He was never going to find out, and I probably had time still to fix it. And then I'm walking back to my office, and I have this Holy Spirit moment in this skyscraper in Manhattan. God whispers, is that who you want to be? Is that the life you want to have? You're mine. And I feel God's love, and I feel safe enough to turn around and walk back to his office and tell him that I hadn't told the truth. And I didn't get fired. No, he smiled and said, okay, fix it. That was a good day. That's the kind of thing we're talking about today. Real world life change. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, promises us that our lives can actually change so that we can have the good life. And it is not a matter of just trying harder. Try harder. No. It's letting Jesus change us from the inside out. So what we want today is for Jesus to be with us in a way that he changes us from the inside, so we're the kind of people, the rare people, who naturally tell the truth. That's what we're after today. Let's start out, since we're at the beginning, asking God for that. Join me in prayer. God, I ask for more of your presence here. Holy Spirit, come. We need you. And I do ask that you make good on the promise of the Sermon on the Mount. You change us from the inside so our lives are just better and better with you, that we are more and more like you, Jesus. We need you on the inside. Come with your love and change us in a powerful way today. I pray that each and every one of us will leave different than we came. Amen. Okay, we lie a ton, and it's a problem, and Jesus can fix it. We're going to get to that. But where we're going to start out with is how most of us feel about all this lying. Most of us live like lying is bad, but I just got to lie, you know, a little. Now, maybe you see some of that in your life. Now, I'm sure there's a few of us here who we're not quite there. That's not exactly what we think. We might even think lying isn't even bad. Well, we'll spend just a quick minute on that, okay? Over and over again, the Bible tells us that lying is wrong, that it's what Satan does, that the kingdom of God is about truth. Jesus is all about truth. But us modern folks, we like to debate things. I know I do. I'm one of those nerds that likes to have a big philosophical debate about the nature of truth. You know, is it absolute? Is it relative? And our culture, it's in on this, right? Our culture is telling us that truth is relative. You know, there is no absolute, no universal truth. You just need to go out and find the truth that's right for you. Well, if that's the case, then how can you really lie? If I'm just telling someone the truth that's true for me, is that really a lie? Okay, if you don't believe in universal truth, we can debate that later, all right? For today, I just want to ask you this question. How would you feel if you opened up your credit card bill, you know, your credit card bill, and there was like $5,000 of extra charges? And you're like, wait, I didn't charge this. What's going on? So you call up the credit card company, and you tell them, hey, this is fraud. Someone else is doing this. And the nice person on the phone says, well, thank you so much for calling. I see that it's your truth that you didn't charge it, that it's fraud. But truth is relative, and it's our corporate truth that you did charge it, and now you have to pay it. How do you feel about that lie? See, when people lie to us, we know it's bad. We do. And so let's talk about some of the reasons why lying is bad. Lying is bad because lying destroys human community. Whether it's in business or academia, science, sports, government, whatever, lies destroy what we do together, all the way down to the marriages and families. And relationships that are built on lies get ugly real quick. My guess is you've seen some of that in your life. Lies also destroy human identity. If you've ever known someone or been someone who has had their life just fall apart because of an affair or embezzlement or a secret addiction, gambling, drugs, alcohol, eating, whatever it is, well, often those people will say, you know, I just don't recognize myself anymore. I just don't know who this person is that I have become. Yeah, because lying and cheating and breaking your promises tears you up inside until there's none really of you left. You just become this empty shell. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Lies, they also destroy human dignity. When we're lying, what we're really doing is exploiting another person. We're denying them. We're hiding reality from them. We're treating them like a child or an object, and that takes away their dignity. There's this whole area of study called speech act theory, and it's actually fascinating, speech act theory. Google it. You can look it up. We can't unpack it. But one example is God. He creates this entire amazing universe. He speaks it into existence. Well, us humans, our speech has power too. The act of lying can destroy so much. Well, many of us are haunted. We are hurt by lies that we have been told. You're ugly. You're worthless. Or, you can trust me. Just go along. Even, I love you. Lies are so powerful and they are so destructive. They destroy. So we know that, right? And we know that lies are powerful. We know that even the fact that they are wrong. So why is it that we just go on lying so much? And we do. We lie a ton. You know, studies show that on average, if we keep talking, we will lie every 3 minutes. It's a ton of lies. Are we just like too weak, too dumb, too evil to stop? We don't think so. No, we have this innate need to have a really high opinion of ourselves. So we come up with lots of reasons why it's okay, right? It's even encouraged to lie. Reasons like, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Or more likely, I don't want to have to deal with someone else's hurt feelings. Or, it was just a white lie. I meant no harm. If I told the truth, I would get in trouble. The ends justify the means. There's it, really. That is it. That's what it is. That's why we keep lying. Utilitarianism. We say to ourselves, maybe not consciously, but we act like, hey, I'm important. And in this world, really, I gotta kind of look out for myself. Mission one has to be me. And so there's times where to get what I want or to prevent what I don't want, I've got to lie. If I can keep it under control, lying, it's okay. Yeah, the ends justifies the means. Now, that's how we rationalize. We justify our lying. That's not really why we lie. We got to go a little bit deeper for that, okay? Two main reasons we lie. The first one, fear. Fear. Fear that we'll get in trouble. You know, bad things will happen if we tell the truth. Fear is probably the thing that motivates most lying. You know, the fear of getting in trouble. Mom walks into the room, sees the plate where there is now crumbs, where cookies used to be. And little us, you know, just little child us, we lie with like crumbs coming out of our face, right? And it's not that we don't love mom and want to please her. We're just afraid of getting in trouble. And then we grow up and we get even better at lying. People will ask us, maybe at a party, you know, hey, didn't you love that latest movie, that latest song, whatever it is, that latest tweet, the latest thing Trump said or the latest thing people said against Trump? And we'll agree with it, even though we don't even know it sometimes or disagree with it, because we fear not being accepted. We fear being left out. Or we'll be asked, how fast were you going? And we will lie. Officer, I have no idea. Probably about the speed limit. Because we fear being punished. Yeah, because of our fear. Us humans, you know, if telling the truth is going to cause pain, we always, always want to avoid pain. I bet you've seen this in your life. Okay, the other reason we lie is for desire, right? Because it's for personal gain. We lie to get what we want. And again, I'm sure most of you are familiar with this. We want the job. So we stretch a little or maybe pad the resume. Or we want something more in our life. So we exaggerate. You never take out the trash. No. You never say you're sorry. You never please me in bed. You never say you love me. Or maybe we want sex, or we want companionship, we want security. We'll even lie and say, I love you. I'm sure you can think of a time where you lied to get what you want. Because it works, right? And it's not like we're really kind, you know, it's not like we're trying to hurt other people. We're just putting our needs above everything else. Okay, this is the encouraging part, right? This is when we're talking about the problem. And you see the problem, right? We lie a ton, driven by fear and desire. We lie, and we know it's wrong, we know it's destructive, but because we think the world revolves around us, we keep doing it. And it's not the good life. It's really not the good life. We can live so much better. Jesus shows us the good life. Jesus gives us the solution to this problem we have with lying. So let's look at what Jesus says. Sermon on the Mount, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything else, anything beyond this, comes from the evil one. Okay, this is a little confusing. It needs a little context, but the cure to lying is in there. And so first off, what Jesus is saying the solution to lying is not. It is not creating levels of lies, just different levels. See, back in the first century when Jesus said this, the significance of your lie depended on the oath that you had taken. They had this whole elaborate system. And at the top was swearing to God, right? If you swear to God, you better tell the truth. You got to tell the truth. But you could swear to other things, right? You could swear to like heaven or the temple, Jerusalem, maybe the earth, your own head. And the farther down you went, you know, the less you really had to tell the truth. Does that seem weird? Kind of like a fancy way of crossing your fingers and putting them behind your back? Yeah, it is a little weird, but it's also in a way really brutally honest that we lie a ton, and sometimes you just gotta know if someone's telling the truth. We still do this, right? People still say, you know, on my honor, on my life, I swear to God, I swear on my mother's grave, I swear on the children that I'm not drinking again, that I'm not having an affair. This German pastor, Helmut Thielick, he describes what we're doing when we use this whole oath thing. He writes, whenever I utter the formula, I swear by God, I am really saying, now I'm going to mark off an area of absolute truth and put walls around it and cut it off from the muddy floods of untruthfulness and irresponsibility that ordinarily overruns my speech. In fact, I'm saying more than this. I am saying that people are expecting me to lie from the start. And just because they are counting on my lying, I have to bring up these big guns of oaths and words of honor in order to drive a breach into the abysmally pessimistic prejudices of my fellow men. This closed phalanx of distrust, and quite justified distrust, too. Yeah, there's a kind of honesty about the fact we're big fat liars in this whole system of oaths. Jesus, though, says, it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense, right? and not the part about us being liars, that's true. The part about the oaths, they kind of rest on the fact that you're compelled to tell the truth, right? At the top level, where you have swearing by God, it's like you're in front of God, and so you got to tell the truth. And you can kind of picture that, right? If we're in front of God, well, it feels like it'd be impossible to lie, right? There's God, oh. But again, you move down from God, heaven, all those other things, well, not as sure that we're going to tell the truth. Well, Jesus is saying, look, dummies, whether you take an oath or not, God's right there in front of you all the time. Everything you say is in front of God. God hears it all. He's listening. So whether you take an oath or not, you're in front of God. God in front of you always. His presence always in this world should always compel you to tell the truth. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Does that make sense? Do you get that? Let me try to illustrate it. Okay. Men, when they go to cheat on their wives, right? They don't often bring their mistress home and do it when their wife is home. I mean, that doesn't make sense, right? That kind of keeps you from doing it at home. Your wife's there. And often, men, when they're having an affair, if they're going to bring their mistress home when their wife's not home, they'll go around the house and take down the pictures of their wife. And, you know, the wedding picture on the dresser, they'll, like, turn that over. Because it reminds them of their wife and the fact that she loves them or the fact that, you know, what they're doing is really wrong. Jesus is saying, it don't do no good to turn God's picture over. He's always in the house. He's always in the room with you. Always. Does that make sense? Am I helping you get it more? Let me try one more time. If you never want to cheat on your spouse, ever, ever, here's what you can do. Go out and buy a pair of handcuffs and chain yourself to your spouse. Okay, to your husband, your wife. It'll create other problems in your life, but it will be highly effective for never, ever cheating. Jesus is saying, if you never, ever want to lie, chain yourself to God. Always, if he is always there, you will never lie. Oh, and by the way, he's always there already all the time. See the truth of that. He's always there. Jesus is saying, the solution for lying is God with us. It's God with us. See? Easy peasy lemon squeezy, right? It's just that simple. We got this problem with lying. The solution, God with us. Oh, by the way, God is already always with us. So stop your lying already. Easy enough. See you next week. Just that simple, right? There is a little more. Yeah, kind of like if the solution for dehydration, for, you know, dying of thirst is water. But you can be in the middle of Lake Superior and still die of thirst. If you think that the water is only good for holding up the boat, for fishing, for drowning, well, you can die because you actually have to drink the water. Likewise, here, Jesus' solution he's giving us really depends on how you react to it. So let's take some examples. Some folks have a really high opinion of themselves. They think that what they do matters, that they can work hard and have the good life. You know, they like Jesus, but or some of them do, but they think, well, hey, I can, you know, I should help earn this. I should contribute. I should work hard so God likes me more, and that'll be a part of this deal. You know anyone like that? Any of that hiding in any of your thinking? Well, these folks tend to have a love-hate relationship with rules. I mean, they love the rule, don't lie, because they're better at it than the average bear. You know, they probably only lie like 3 times a day instead of every 3 minutes. But they also see the rules as kind of like a burden, because you gotta follow them, or you'll get in trouble. You won't have a good life. And you know, if you break enough of those rules, well, yeah, you're going to hell. See, it's pride and fear. That's the motivators there. So, when folks like this hear Jesus' solution to lying, it's God with us, that kind of messes with their whole thing of, wait a minute, I'm doing pretty good at lying, right? I'm not lying that much. I'm good on lying. Well, now if God's with me all the time, now I mean, that's 100%. That means absolutely no lies. That's even harder. Holy cow, how am I going to do that? I should just like bury my head in the sand and pretend like Jesus didn't say this. This whole deal, way more common, especially in churches, than we think. Look for this in some of our thinking. Okay, let's take some other folks. There are folks that think lying, it's fine. No big deal. It's just what happens in the world today. Just try not to get caught too much. I'm thinking maybe not too many of us here. I don't know, any politicians here? We love you too. Folks that think this way, they don't like what Jesus' solution is either, that God's always with us. Because it's kind of like if your wife or your husband showed up at the hotel room that you got for the affair. It'd be embarrassing, right? It'd be shameful. Now let's talk about some other folks. People who think, hey, I can't do this. I can't get the good life on my own. I can't deal with the mess that I have made. I need Jesus through what Jesus did on that cross, going to hell in my place. These are people who have put their weight down, who have accepted Jesus' gift, paying the price for all the rules that we break. That Jesus giving us his perfection, basically his perfect scorecard when it comes to the rules. And for these folks, if I'm here, I'm thinking, well, I'm not afraid of the rules, right? I have a perfect scorecard when it comes to the rules. I'm not afraid of them at all. In fact, I love the rules because the rules show me how to love Jesus and thank him for what he's done for me. The rules are like a roadmap of how to delight Jesus. I love the rules. And when I hear Jesus' solution, God with us always, all right, that's electrifying to have the person who I love so much with me. Now, sure, it does bring accountability, like being handcuffed to a spouse that you love, but you get to have the person who loves you most in the universe, the person who did everything for you, who gave the most for you, who is always working to make your life better with you always. This is the kind of person I want to be, who's living that kind of life. For you, who are you in this? Who are you? How do you live your life? Are you the rule follower? Are you the rule breaker? Are you the rule lover? Who are you? Or maybe more importantly, who do you want to be? Because what you choose to believe today about yourself, about God, determines that. And I want to tell you, Jesus' solution to lying, it only works if we actually surrender to him. If we give up on ourselves and let him be king, if we stop trying to change ourselves, trying harder, and we say, Jesus, change me from the inside out. Have we done that? Well, if we're in, let me talk just for a few minutes about how this plays out practically when it comes to lying. How does Jesus change us when it comes to lying? Basically, the way it happens is, you know, the more Jesus in us, the more truth that comes out of us. Rich Nathan, the Vineyard pastor in Columbus, talks about how it's Jesus that does all this. And he writes, if we walked around knowing at the core of our being that Jesus loves us, that we're never alone, that Jesus is with us, that Jesus accepts us and approves of us and calls us his friends, and Jesus welcomes us just as we are, don't you think that this would eliminate so much of the neurotic lying and pretense and exaggeration that you and I engage in? If you are not in Christ, if you don't know that you are a child of God, if you don't know that you are loved, it is incredibly scary to be vulnerable before someone else, especially if they have power over you, especially if you think that they might disapprove of you. Truth-telling is rooted in Christ. The solution only works if we surrender to Jesus. So, Jesus in us changes us. Because if we're with Jesus, we can let go of the fear. Now, sure, telling the truth, it can cause discomfort and embarrassment. It can. But if Jesus is with us, he's with us, right? He is protecting us and providing for us, and he's loving us in that moment. And if we choose to lie, what are we doing? We're stepping away from Jesus. And the consequences of stepping away from Jesus are always worse than the consequences of telling the truth. For me, back in New York City, right? lying to my boss. Well, that was because I was afraid, right, of not having approval, of, you know, not being good enough to work at this great firm. I had all these fears. But then when Jesus came with his love, it drove out those fears, right? Now, maybe I was taking a risk talking to him. I mean, he could have punished me or let me go. I don't know. But it didn't feel like a risk. It didn't even feel like a choice. It just felt like what I needed to do with Jesus. For us, can we look around our lives? Can we see the fears that are causing us to lie? Whatever they are. That, you know, it's the fear of being embarrassed or disappointing someone or failure. Maybe it's the fear of losing control, the fear of not being loved, the fear of being alone. Maybe we're lying to protect an addiction, an idol. What are we lying to protect? What's the fear that's driving us to lie? Well, what I'm saying is we don't just try harder on our own to get rid of that fear. No, what we do is we go to Jesus. We say, Jesus, come on in. I welcome you and your love. And Jesus's love, it puts that fear in perspective. It drives those fears out so we can let them go. Next, desire, right? We lie to get what we want. But what we really want is Jesus. Right? In New York City, why did I lie? I guess I lied to be successful, to be rich. But those things aren't good enough. There's no way they're good enough. They don't even compare to Jesus in our lives. For each of us, the next time you're tempted to lie to get what you want, whatever that is, you know, money, power, success, pleasure, control, whatever you're going to lie to get, do this. Stop. Just pause before you lie to get it. And ask yourself this question: is what I want better than Jesus? Because if I lie, I'm stepping away from Jesus and his kingdom. Yeah, it's just kind of rank them, right? And if you don't know, is Jesus better? Is this other thing better? Ask Jesus to show you. Ask him to even come in that moment and show you how good he is. Seriously, what do you got to lose? I mean, you can always decide that what you want is better than Jesus and lie to get it. We're supposed to try this stuff out. Let's try it out. We got this big problem with lying, right? The solution that Jesus gives us is deceptively simple. God with us. How are we going to react? Are we going to welcome God in to change us from the inside? His love driving out the fear, giving us our ultimate desire? Are we going to become the people that naturally tell the truth? I'll tell you what, let's press into that. Why don't you stand up with me and let's talk to Jesus about this. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. We need more of your presence now. We need more of your love. And God, as we've been talking, Jesus' solution only really works if we've surrendered to him. And I think a lot of us are at way different places when it comes to surrendering to Jesus. So Jesus, I ask that you reach out to each and every one of us now and you offer your gift, forgiveness of sins, your perfection, and all we have to do is give up to say we can't do it on our own. God, help us to embrace that offer now. That's the first step to the good life. It's the first step to stopping all the lies and all the other nonsense in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. And then, God, when it comes to the lying, lies are such a big problem in this world. There's such a big problem in each and every one of our hearts. So Holy Spirit, even now, show us the fears that we have that are causing us to lie. And Jesus, push out those fears with your love. Remind us of what you've done for us on the cross, how you gave everything for us, how we cannot fathom your love, and drive those fears out
with your love. Help us to just surrender them to you and take hold of your love. And in the same way, Jesus, the things that we want, the things we have to have in this life that we're willing to lie to get, put those things in perspective. Show us how they're nothing compared to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and change us. You know, I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward. And if God is, giving you the elbow on any of this stuff today, we'd love to pray for you. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. We'd love to talk to you about that. Pray with you about that. If you are struggling when it comes to believing lies, having fears that cause you to lie, we'd love to pray about that. And if you're just looking for an experience of God's love today that will drive out your fears, that will show you how good He is, we'd love to pray about that. I'd also add that, you know, we've kind of been talking going forward how to live a life without lies. Many of us have the damage of lies in our rearview mirror. We have told some whoppers and hurt people, and we need forgiveness. Let someone pray for you about that. Or maybe you have been hurt by some whoppers in your life, and you need healing. We'd love to pray about that as well. Really, if there's anything in your life that needs to change, Jesus has change for you. Physical healing, you know, you're struggling with your money or in your relationships. We'd love to pray about all of those things today. They're going to lead us in some more worship, and I would just encourage you to stay. Stay and hear what else God has for you this morning. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.